Es khazor zeh nish ba khazor shag vem yudem sagt es khulen darf nun gimel. Rav Ashi asks, do other non-kosher birds, other than the nates and the gas, do they have the ability to make something a treif by cloying it? Rav Hillel said, when I was by Rav Kahana, he said that other non-kosher birds do have that ability. In fact, our Mishnah specifies the nates bird, which suggests that no other birds do have that ability. And for tomorrow, the Mishnah singles out the nates bird because it's different in that its cloying can even make a bird of like size into a treif, whereas other birds can only do so to smaller birds. Another teretz, the Mishnah singles out the nates bird because it's different in that its cloying can even make a bird of a larger size than it into a treifa, whereas the other birds can only do so to birds that are at most of equal size to them. The Gemara continues, Kahana, in the name of Rav Simon bar Ashi, said the cloying of a fox does not have the ability to make an animal do a treifa. In fact, Rav Dimi once said that it happened that a fox clawed a sheep, and the Rabbanan said that the sheep became a treifa from that. After the Gemara, Rav Safra said it was actually a cat that clawed, not a fox. Another version is Rav Kahana, in the name of Rav Simon bar Ashi, said the cloying of a fox does have the ability to make an animal do a treifa. The Gemara then asked, that Rav Dimi once said that it happened that a fox clawed a sheep, and the Rabbanan said the sheep did not become a treifa from that. Rav Safra answered it was actually a dog that clawed, not a fox. Rav Yosef said we have a Kabbalah that a dog does not have the ability to make something a treifa through his clawing. Abaya said, we have a Kabbalah that only the clawing of the front feet can cause the victim to become a treifa, but not of the back feet. Also, only the nails cause it to become a treifa, not the teeth. Also, it only becomes a treifa when the animal clawed with intent to do so. Also, only a live animal's clawing can make the victim into a treifa. Frekmer, once he said that without intent, the cloying does not create a treifa, it seems unnecessary to say that after death, the cloying cannot create a treifa. And for tomorrow, the cases where the attacking animal stuck its claw into the victim and the claw was then chopped off. Abaya is teaching that this dead claw, so to say, cannot make a treifa. We would have thought to say that it gave off poison as soon as it was put into the victim. He therefore teaches the poison is only put into the victim when the claw is pulled out of the victim. Rav Bar Avuna, name of Rav, said if a lion went among the oxen and one of the oxen was later found with a nail of a lion in its back, we're not concerned that the ox was clawed by the lion. The reason is that we say that most lions claw and a minority don't. When an animal claws, it's not normal for its nail to fall out. Therefore, we're going to say that the ox got the nail in its back by rubbing against a wall in which a lion's nail became detached. Fekmer, we should instead say that most oxen rub against walls and a minority don't. When an animal rubs against a wall, it's not normal for it to get a nail in its back. Therefore, we should assume that it got the nail in its back by having been clawed by the lion. After the Gemara, there's logic to say each way, which makes the ox a suffix drusa. Rav follows his own view that we're not concerned for an animal that's only a suffix drusa. Abaya said this is only true for the nails found in the back. However, if the mark of a nail was found in its back, we would have to be concerned. Also, even when a nail is found in its back, we're only not concerned for clawing if it was a moist claw, which don't usually fall off. However, if it was a dried out claw, we would have to be concerned. Also, even when it's moist, we're only not concerned when it's one nail that's found in the back. However, if there are two or three, we'd have to be concerned if they're in a row, like they are in a row on the paw of the animal. So, we have learned that Rav says we're not concerned in the case of a suffix drusa, and Shmuel says that we are. Mark explains, everyone agrees that if it's a suffix, whether the attacking animal even entered among the possible victims, we can assume that it did not enter at all. If an animal was definitely clawed, but it's a suffix, whether it was done by a cat or by a dog, we can assume that it was done by a dog. If a lion was found to be sitting quietly among the oxen, we can assume that it did not claw any of them. If a lion ripped off the head of one of them, we can assume that he thereby let out his anger and did not claw any of the others. If the lion was roaring and the oxen were heard groaning, it means that each of them are scared of the other and there's no concern that a lion clawed. Machlokes is, where the lion was quiet and the oxen were groaning. Shmuel holds that the oxen are groaning because the lion must have been clawing. Rav says that they're groaning out of fear. Amemar said, we pask him that we are concerned for a suffix drusa. Rav Ashi asked him, how do you disregard the view of Rav? Amemar said, I don't agree with his ruling. We can also answer that Rav retracted his view and held like Shmuel. We see this from an incident where a basket full of suffix drusa birds were brought to Rav for a ruling, and he sent them to Shmuel for a ruling. Shmuel took them and strangled them and then threw them into the river. Now, if Rav didn't retract his view, instead of sending them to Shmuel, he should have passed them to their mutter. Gemara says, it's not a valid proof. If Rav did retract, instead of sending them to Shmuel, he should have just passed them that they're also on his own. Why did he send them to Shmuel? Be because he was in the place that was under the jurisdiction of Shmuel, and therefore he didn't want to paskin against Shmuel, and that's why we can't prove what Rav actually held. Why did Shmuel have to strangle him? Why couldn't he simply throw them into the river to drown? When I say he was afraid that they'd be able to save themselves and emerge alive, why couldn't he let them live and see if they survive for 12 months, which would prove that they're not a treifa? After tomorrow, people may accidentally eat them during the 12-month period. Fact, Demar, why couldn't he just sell them to a guy? Demar said he may come to sell them to a yid. Fact, why couldn't he strangle them and throw them into the garbage? Demar said we can ask why he couldn't throw them to the dogs. The reason is because he didn't want to publicize. He did this strange way because he wanted to publicize that a suffix drusa is usher. The Gemara says there was a duck that belonged to Rav Ashi, which went into the reeds and came out with blood on its neck. Rav Ashi said, just as we said that if it's a suffix, whether a dog or cat did the clawing, we can say it's a dog. Over here also, we can say it's a suffix, whether it's happened on the reeds or whether it's from the clawing of a cat. We can assume that it happened from the reeds. The Gemara continues. The Gemara has an introduction. An animal that the Druze must be checked to see if poison has been injected into the animal. The sons of Rav Chiya said, an animal that the Druze needs to be examined all around the insides for signs of poisoning. Rabbi Yosef said this ruling was actually already stated by Shmuel in the name of Rav Chanina, but not taking this. In fact, Ilfa asked, does an animal become a Druze when it's clawed at the place of its simanim? After the Gemara, Zera said, this was already addressed by a ruling of Rav Chanon by Rav in the name of Rav, who said that a Druze must be examined around all of the insides and even in the simanim. Ilfa asked, how much do simanim have to be detached in order for it to be considered a trefa? Rav Zera said, this is already taught by a ruling of Rav Bar Chana in the name of Shmuel, which said that the majority must be detached. Rav Ami asked, what's the halacha if an animal's flesh began to decay at the place of the clawing? Rav Zera said, this is already taught in the ruling of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, which said that a clawed animal is only a trefa if the flesh of the area of the insides began to redden. If the flesh began to decay, we view it as if it's not there. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, explained that decayed for this purpose refers to flesh that a doctor would cut away to allow for healing of the healthy flesh. Like they do a debridement of the wound to help it now, to help now grow new healthy flesh. Mark continues, Rav Nachman said an animal punctured by a thorn is only a trefa if it punctured all the way into the body cavity. A drusa is a trefa if the flesh around its insides become reddened. Razvid taught, Rav Nachman said a drusa is a trefa if the flesh around its insides become reddened, and if it was clawed at the simanim, it becomes a trefa if the simanim themselves become reddened. Mara says, Rav Papi said, Rabbi Barabai asked, a hole of any size in the veshet makes the animal a trefa, and therefore a red spot of any size in the veshet that was clawed will also make it a trefa. With regard to the kana, it's only a trefa if there's a hole the size of an iser. How large of a red spot from a drusa on the kana would make it a trefa? He then answered that even a red spot of any size will make it a trefa. The reason is that the poison from clawing continues to spread and will eventually make a hole the size of an iser in the kana.